Week 6 features two matchups pitting teams in UC Sports Nation against each other. The first, White County, travels to Jamestown to take on York Institute. Thank you for joining the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's hear what White County head coach Mark Frazier had to say about last week's win against Walker Valley.
There's such a big difference between 2-3 and 3-2 in my mind. I felt like we really needed that win. It's against a team that's a little bit bigger size school than us. They've kind of had the same struggles that we've had in the past. You know, it was good competition for us. We really needed that win.
And you've got to be proud of the way your guys fight and compete no matter what the score is.
I tell them they don't have to, you know, impress me every game by coming back. We can get ahead. It's not, you know, outlawed around here. Tried to fix it, but it just turned out. We got kind of in the same boat as we've been, you know, all five games, got behind by 11. I responded very quickly, actually, you know, came back, had a good drive right after their touchdown, went for two and got it, and then had a big interception by Malachi Dow, a young freshman that came up, made a big play on the first play of the next offensive series to give us the ball down there inside the 20.
So maybe you guys being down so much throughout the season just gives your team confidence that they can play from behind.
You know, that's true. You know, it's just like anything else. If you do it and you do it over and over again, you realize that it's possible. It's not ideal. Like I said, I'd love to be in front one time, but I do think that they don't hang their heads. I'm very, very proud of that because I think that times in the past 20, 30 years, we've had teams that would have done that here at White County.
Coach, this is something else I feel like we harp on every week, but you've got a three-headed rushing attack with Will Griggs, Jaden Richmond, and Cedric Leftwich.
Well, I actually think it was probably our best game rushing that we've had. I thought Cedric did a great job of making his reads. You know, there's times when you make a few mistakes along the lines of who to give it, keep it, whatever. He didn't make very many mistakes. He threw it 8 times is all we threw the football, and we didn't complete a lot of them. We had a couple drops, which weren't his fault. I think the passing game has got to get better. So with that being said, you know, we're going to run the ball, like you said, and Griggs and Richmond have done great. Cedric's done great, and up front, they're, you know, doing a good job.
You play York this Friday night, and they run that wing tee, and they're going to actually rush the ball between 45 and 50 times a game. So starting fast against them has to be key for you guys.
Well, the wing tee is, it's a difficult offense to defend. We faced it first week with Cannon County. We've got it coming a couple more times this year, so we worked on it in the offseason quite a bit. But you're right, it's one of those deals where you know you've got to play your assignment, you've got to stop time at York, and so he coaches a very good system right there, so we're going to have to be prepared. And you're right, I don't want to be down 21-10 this week. It'll be a lot tougher to come back against a running football team. We need to come out of the gate a little faster and not put ourselves in a hole. They're a good team. I think, you know, it's going to be a competitive game, so I'm excited going up there and playing it.
Frazier said there will be some similarities in the way that the White County Warriors defend York's wing tee offense and in the way that White County defended Cannon County's wing tee offense in week 1. Monterey head coach Scott Hughes said his Wildcats need a lot of luck to go 5-0 in the second half of the season. However, he did say he has trouble looking past his Friday night's opponent in Jackson County.
I did. Our kids come out excited and you know, played really well, had some things to go our way, and had some explosive plays early and kind of got the momentum going, and we were able to sustain it through the rest of the quarter and the rest of the game. My hat goes off to Coach Reagan, super good guy, trying to do things the right way and change the culture and do things right for that program and for those young men. And
I don't think I've ever seen 44 points scored in the first quarter, and it really wasn't like you were trying to run it up, but just things were happened to go right for you guys.
It did. You know, we executed really well to allow that to happen, and we've got a few guys that you know, we've been trying to get more involved, and they're young guys, and we know they're talented, and we know they can do some different stuff for us. Just trying to get those guys going. They were able to get their foot in the water a little bit. Instead of just dipping a toe in, they were able to jump in the whole way and had a really good night. When you're looking at Eli Saylors and Michael Allred and Logan Spark, you know, Chandler Bowden had another big night for us.
Coach, Jackson County is playing some really competitive football right now. What are they doing defensively that you need to prepare for?
Well, they're big and they're physical, and they've got good athletes. I really like their front seven. I think their front seven plays downhill really well. They're very aggressive. Their size presents a matchup that's hard. They got some big bodies that are athletic, move well, and very impressed by their linebackers. Their linebackers are big, physical young men that run laterally, but they also come downhill and they'll hit you in the mouth. Coach Loftus does just a phenomenal job of getting those guys ready, and his schemes are going to be very good.
Coach, your passing game looked like it's starting to really come on here halfway through the season.
I mean, you know, you return Jordan, and he's played a lot of football for us. And like we said, we've got a few guys that are starting to show up that are learning how to play new positions or are trying to fine-tune some positions. And so, you know, those guys are working hard, spending a lot of time in the film room, just, you know, trying to learn the position, learn the craft. They're staying after practice. They're coming in early. They're doing everything they're supposed to do.
With Monterey jumping ahead of Pickett County early last Friday night, Hughes found he was able to get some young players valuable playing experience for the second half of the season. After the break, we will hear what Stone Memorial, Cookeville, and Livingston Academy head coaches have to say about their upcoming matchups this week. Thank you for joining the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Stone Memorial head coach Derek Samber said that his biggest takeaway from last Friday night's game against Livingston Academy is that the Wildcats are a pretty dang good football team. He also said that he expects Livingston Academy to represent the region well deep into the playoffs.
Our attitude and effort is great. We're young in spots, starting multiple freshmen and sophomores at different spots. You know, there's a saying in coaching that, you know, you lose a game for every freshman or sophomore you start. And so I think we're on pace to lose about 14 games this year. You know, they're great kids. They're working hard, and the effort and attitude is there. So we're growing in everything we do. It's just finding the right pieces and putting them in the right spot.
Is one of the advantages of having a young team the fact that, yeah, they're young right now. Yes, they may be inexperienced, but at least they're playing and they're getting that experience for the next season?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the way it is in high school football, especially in this area. It comes and goes in cycles. And right now we're paying our dues a little bit. Over the next 4 years, I think it'll pay off. But, you know, the comment I've made to some of our kids even is that a lot of these guys are making mistakes and having to learn from mistakes on Friday nights when they should still be making those mistakes on Monday nights in JV games, because they are freshmen or sophomores. They're going through some growing pains under the lights on Fridays, and that's okay. It's going to pay off for us in the second half of the season and down the road.
What are you still seeing that right now you feel needs to garner the most attention as an area of improvement?
As we said, the effort and attitude is there. The third thing that we talked about with our kids is focus is the other controllable. And there were just some alignment issues Friday night, just some really basic things that, again, growing pains and that we're learning from, but we've got to continue to be coachable and then execute.
How do you keep a young team like this motivated and focused?
It's difficult. It's not easy, but we've got to just be an advocate for our kids. And certainly they don't need beaten down. They need a high standard to be held to and held accountable to. And then we've got to bring energy as well as coaches and enthusiasm and everything that we do.
With Kingston this week, what have you seen from them that you have to prepare for defensively?
Good football team. Number 19 in particular is a very good athlete. Wing T type. They'll get in the spread and throw it around and run some power read stuff as well.
Samber said the key to winning Friday night's game against Kingston starts with himself. He said the Panthers need to start by not turning the ball over offensively and limiting the big plays on defense. Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard said it has been a tough first half of the season schedule-wise for the Cavaliers. He thought his team made some strides last week against Oakland despite the final score. Maynard said he is hopeful they will carry their progress into the second half of the season.
Well, you know, defensively, they're so good. They're so fast on defense. You don't get good field position. I mean, they kick it in the end zone when they score, and it's difficult because they're so good on offense. When you do get stops, you're going to have to drive the ball a long distance. We emphasize to our kids a four-yard gain is a good gain against them. You can keep moving the chains, but when you get penalties and things, it sets you behind the chains. It's very difficult. They have such great closing speed, and, you know, we were able to throw the ball a little bit, but, man, the windows are small compared to some of the other teams that you play.
Coach, you've been harping on your defense kind of all year, and it seems like they really came to play Friday night again. Not a true 49 points that they gave up.
I thought we played better. A difficult team because all the things that they do. You know, we haven't seen the wing T all year, and really our kids did a really good job defending the wing T part of it. And even in the passing game, they're, you know, they got the big quarterback that's got a strong arm, and we did a good job with that also. But yes, I thought we did better. I thought we played harder. We tackled better. Again, our whole deal is consistency. We've got to get consistent, really, on both sides of the ball. We just got to get that consistency and be a little more poised and disciplined in the way we play.
I was able to watch some film on Coffee County yesterday. They look a lot like you guys do on offense. Your quarterback kind of makes him go, run a lot of similar things.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, know, it's stuff that we've seen. Their little running back runs the ball exceptionally hard. It's nothing fancy what they do, but you touched on it. The quarterback, they brought in another quarterback, actually. I guess the starter maybe got hurt or something, and they brought in a bigger kid that runs the ball pretty hard, and he makes plays. And we've had a little difficulty with some running quarterbacks in previous games. I know the Upperman game, we obviously had trouble with him, and I'm not sure this kid is as good as he is, but he is an effective runner, and we've just got to make sure that we as we're coached and we get off of blocks and get to the football. We got to get people to the football and make tackles.
Coffey County got a big win against Siegel last week, but they had a kickoff return for a touchdown and an interception return for a touchdown. How important is it for you guys not to give up those non-offensive touchdowns?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at last week's game, and that was obviously the kicking game was probably gave them two or three scores possibly. You know, they may have done it anyway, but at least we give ourselves a chance to try to get them stopped. Had actually done a pretty good job with that. Coffey County's dangerous. The number five, the kid that the return guy, if you watch the films, he's had a lot of really good returns, so we obviously got to try to kick away from him, not kick the ball to him, because he is probably the most dynamic player on their football team, and we worked hard this week on the kicking game part of it. We just got to do what we're supposed to do. We got to make sure that we get hats on people when we're punting the football. We didn't do that last week. We let some people run free and should not have done that. With Oakland, those kids, you got to really get a hat on them because they are so fast. You can't just shove them and push them. You got to get a hat on them and block them. And, you know, we'll continue to work to get better in that aspect of our game.
Maynard said the next two games before their bye week against Coffey and Warren County gives the Cavaliers a chance to focus on themselves. He said it's not about who we play, it's about what we do. Livingston Academy head coach Bruce Lamb said that this year's team compares to the 2005 team that won the state championship in the way that they love each other. Lamb also said of both groups that no one cares who gets the credit as long as they win.
Distrust. You know, in the hours that they've put in time together, a lot of days, you know, these guys come out here all summer long and stay extra after practice, just throwing and just believing in each other. And I think that's the main thing that's going right now is that it's not just with Wesley, it's with Aubrey Hollers, with Raven Carpenter, and with Brian Mosley also.
Speaking of Aubrey Hollers, he had another good night defensively, picked off two passes. As good as your offensive playing, as much publicity as they get, your defense is playing really well also.
Our defense is playing well. You know, Coach Mattenhauser is doing a great job calling them, putting them in the right positions. You know, we've got some big kids up front who play really hard. You know, I had a young man that plays defensive end for me, and this is just an example. You know, he rushed the quarterback the other night. They threw a screen pass, and they got a few yards downfield, and he chased the ball down from the quarterback all the way 25 yards downfield and made the play. But that's how hard they're playing right now. And that kind of effort, you know, as I said many times before, wins ball games.
Coach, something on defense you can do that you can't necessarily do on offense is just playing with relentless effort, playing as hard as you can, and that covers up a lot of mistakes.
It sure does, you know, because if you got that kind of effort – from 11 kids, it's hard to do anything just because of, like I said, the effort that they give, the excitement that they have on defense, and it's contagious. You know, when they bring someone out and put another one in there, they do the same thing. You know, they're going as hard as they can, and it's been big for us so far.
Coach, Smith County earned a big win over York last Friday night. What are you needing to focus on defensively this week to slow them down?
Well, they're a good football team. You know, they play really, really hard. The young man back at quarterback, I think his last name is Spivey, he does a great job and gets them in positions and where they need to be. And, you know, he's very elusive back there. Reminds me a lot of the young man from Cookeville. So, you know, he does a great job in putting them in those spots. And he's got a good running back and a couple good receivers. And we're just going to have to try to contain them.
Coach, on offense, I know you've said in the past you're looking to move the ball any way possible, if it's running the ball or throwing the ball, but so far through your film and practice this week, how are you looking to attack Smith County with your offense?
Well, just whatever's working. I mean, we do what we do, and you know, if it's throwing the ball, that's great. If it's running the ball, that's great. It doesn't bother us. Which, you know, we'll try both, and then whichever one's working better, that's what we'll go with.
Lamb said, as a team, they are not where they need to be just yet. He also said, if they want to be great, they need to continue to get better, and his team has responded to that challenge so far. In the next segment, we preview Upperman's top 10 matchup against Oneida. Also, we hear from Coach Steve Trapp in DeKalb County and Cannon County's rivalry game. Then we travel with Pickett County all the way to Chattanooga, DeSalle Creek. Thank you for joining us for segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Upperman goes on the road for the second time in as many weeks Friday night to face Oneida and Scott County. Head coach Adam Kane said the biggest challenge with this two-hour-plus road trip happens to be the Class 2A 10th-ranked team, the Oneida Indians.
Everybody I've talked to in the coaching profession and this, that, and the other, you know, they speak glowingly of Coach Lambert and the program up there, and talk about how physical they are and how good a deal they run, and the atmosphere is outstanding. I'm excited about that. I think our kids enjoy playing in big time atmospheres, but we're going to have to get in there and see if we can hit with them and see if we can match their physicality and, you know, see if we can string four quarters together and have a chance to win that game in the fourth.
Coach, I was able to watch Oneida a little bit on film earlier in this week, and they look really similar to what you guys run on offense. They play with a sniffer, getting three wide, four wide some. So does that help a little bit? And when you're preparing to play Oneida?
Any familiarity helps. The thing that's interesting about them is they threw the ball quite a bit last week. And so, you know, we've had to really make sure we're sound in the secondary. And most people I talk to normally say that they like to run the ball 90% of the time. But I guess this year they got some receivers and a decent quarterback they want to try to focus on getting the ball to. So it's more of a dual threat attack now. We've kind of honed in on what we think they might do. I'm not always right. It's going to be about figuring that out during the game. And we do a pretty good job here of just trying to play defense. We do a pretty good job of adjusting what people are doing. So I hope that'll be the case Friday night.
Coach, how do you feel like your team responded after their first regular season loss under you? They hadn't lost a regular season game in almost 2 years, Friday night in Cannon County.
Yeah, I was very pleased with it. Actually, this group played a good bit as sophomores the year before I got here, and I think they won four straight regular season games before I even got here. So it had been a long while, and you could tell they didn't like that. They wanted, and they were eager, and they knew we had some big-time corrections to make with penalties and with mental errors, and they were very receptive to, you know, the measures we took in terms of accountability that week. They responded very well. This group likes to play. They like to compete. And they got to figure out that, you know, you can't play Rambo ball when it becomes a close game. You got to play team football. And we're well on our way to figuring that out. So I was pleased with how they reacted.
Coach, and I really thought in the second half, y'all really came out there and put the foot on the gas, the foot on their throat, and closed that game out.
You're speaking of Cannon County?
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry.
It was good. You know, Cannon put together a drive there late in the second quarter, and a lot of it was defensive calls that I was making that was putting our guys in bad spots. So we went back to more of our base deal, and we're able to shut them out pretty much on offense. And then our offense, you know, put some points on the board. You know, I didn't like some of the drives, of course, in the second half. We should have finished with touchdowns, and we didn't get much. Or didn't get anything on a few. So we talked about being able to focus and finish that up. It was more of a business-like approach for us, and it was a big region win. You know, it's good to go 2-0 in our region play.
Coach Kane said Upperman must make improvements in their passing game, just not for this week's matchup, but for the rest of the season. DeKalb County head coach Steve Trapp said he wants this year's homecoming week to be a memorable one for his players. He also said the way to make it most memorable is with a big win Friday night against Cannon County.
Again, it just goes back to, make sure our mindset is correct on taking care of all the little things, you know, just understanding, you know, when we call plays, what we're trying to accomplish with it. Each individual player zoomed in focus-wise on doing their job to the best of their ability. And then just having pride at home. I mean, that's the one mark we can talk about right now with our team as far as, hey, we've done it good. You know, we played at home. We performed well at home. We want to keep that going. It's homecoming week. You know, again, as far as the head coach, I don't use that for our number one motivation. If they get extra motivation from it being homecoming, I'm fine with that. Ultimately, as a head coach, and what we preach here is when you put that helmet on, no matter what the situation is, we should be at our peak mindset physically and mentally just to get the job done in a great way.
Coach, when we talk about Cannon County, the best way to stop a wing tee offense is from the inside out. So how important are your reads and your keys and your triangle read when you're trying to stop those guys and having great eye discipline?
Well, it's huge. And again, you know, a lot of times you can watch tape, and when things break down, you talk to the guys about their eyes. We tell them all the time, you know, if your eyes are right, the rest will follow. So again, it's even more important. Each and every week it's very important, but even more important when you get a lot of stuff that could be window dressing or things that could make your eyes go in the wrong place. And it's very easy to see if your eyes are in the wrong place, because that's usually when big plays happen against this type of offense. Like I said, it's business as usual, making sure that we're preparing our guys, putting in front of them what they're going to see, but also being ready for things that they may not have seen. So, again, it's just buying into the preparation, make sure we understand what's going on, and then go play extremely hard.
Coach, I realize most coaches have their own style to stop in the wing tee offense, whether it's playing some kind of cover three, some kind of match quarters. But have you seen anything on film from Upperman last week or anyone else that's stopped Cannon County that you might try to implement this week?
As far as our base defense, it's very similar to Upperman as far as alignment. Three linebackers in there, basically a 3-3 stack. You know, of course, you know, we look at every film and see what's similar to what we do. But then again, you know, we got a philosophy here. It's about what we do and how we do it, and we want to make the other team adjust to what we're doing. So again, we have to understand what's coming at us, but we also have to understand more how we want our guys to play and what it means to buckle up that helmet and go out there and do it.
We talked about last week you guys jumping on Grundy County quick. Looks like y'all did that in a big 49-12 victory. Were you pleased with how you guys played on offense and defense after that game?
I was extremely pleased. I mean, it's one thing we talked to our guys about, trying to get a quick start. Ultimately, Grundy County did score on us, but I liked how our guys responded. They just kept the mindset of, we've been talking about mental toughness all year. You know, no matter what has happened, either good or bad, just take care of what you can take care of in that moment. We fumbled the first snap of the game. You know, we recovered, but that first drive wasn't very clean. But after that, we got some things happening. So we had 3 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, a pretty good balance night. Once our offense settled in, our defense settled in as well, and it was a pretty productive night all the way around.
After turning the ball over 9 times in the first 2 games, the DeKalb County Tigers have ratcheted things up in the ball security department. They have turned the ball over 0 times since their contest in week 2. Pickett County head coach Ray Reagan said after their 63-16 loss to Monterey Friday night that the Wildcats are a really good football team and they are really well coached.
They're just going to have to stay on their blocks till the whistle blows. I watched film. They're good about getting off the ball and getting on the block, but they're not sustaining it through the whole play, and they're getting loose and they blitzed on us quite a bit and bring a man free. I've got with my offensive coordinator and we've made some adjustments this week trying to get them some help. So we'll see.
So one player we haven't really talked much about when we've, you know, had these interviews is Mark Smith, who feels like each week he's made a pretty significant dent in the passing game. What do you like about how he's developed over the year?
Oh, he just gets better and better and better. He started coming on at the end of last year. This year he's kind of stepped up as a team leader. He's tall, he's fast, long arms, good hands. When Luke's got time to get him the ball, he's hard to cover. He's one of the taller receivers that you'll see. So he does a great job.
So at this halfway point in the season, what are you telling your team to continue to get them to buy in and stay motivated through the grind of a long year when they have football as well as schoolwork to deal with?
You never quit. I mean, you know, no matter what happens to you this week, you got to keep fighting, keep digging, and you know, and good things will come. As long as you're putting the work in, good things will come. I tell them every night that you're going to play just like you practice. You come down here and put out and practice, it's going to show on Friday night. And, you know, they do a good job. It's just we're young. We got a lot of young players, and we've got some young players that's playing a lot. And, you know, it's coming together. I'm seeing improvements on different things week in, week out, and as long as we're improving and not going backwards, that's a good thing.
So when you have a young team, is it at least a positive that they're young, yes, but they're getting playing time so that way next year they can come back with a little bit more experience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially us. You know, we don't have a junior high program. Don't have, youth football up there anymore. So, you know, by the time I get them, a lot of them's never played football. And, you know, the more experience they get, the better off they're going to be. And, you know, next year they can contribute even more. So, yeah, it's a work in progress, but we're getting there.
The Bobcats travel to Chattanooga this Friday night to take on Sell Creek. Reagan pointed out that Sell Creek has a size advantage up front. To combat that, he plans to try to get the ball on the edge to stay away from that size mismatch. Join us for segment 4 as we follow Clay County's undefeated season into week 6. We appreciate you joining us for segment 4 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Clay County head coach Jake Johnson said his team's fired up after they knocked off Gordonsville, the defending region champs, last week in Salina, 35-6.
Our guys up front do a great job. You know, they stay consistent. They're a bunch of high motor guys, probably not the biggest in the world, but they work. And, you know, having fresh legs back there definitely pays off.
And the other question about that would be, does that free up Jake a little bit in the passing game when the running backs are playing as well as they do?
It does. And, you know, he didn't throw for a ton of yards the other night, but he had some big plays. You know, he hit Bryson Birch it down the seam, I think down to the 2-yard line. Also hit him in the back of the end zone off of play action. So it definitely gives us favorable matchups on the outside.
So it also came out yesterday in the AP Tennessee Top 10 that you guys have cracked the top 10 in your class. How good does that feel, and how much does that do for a team's confidence to know that this is where you guys are right now?
Well, it does, and, you know, that's a big deal. You know, it's been a long time since a team from Clay County has been ranked in the AP Top 10. But, you know, that being said, you know, we're only halfway through. It's nice to be in there, but, you know, we really – you know, if this was week 10, you know, we're in the top 10 still, you know, it would be a much better feeling. But still, you know, hats off to our guys, you know, very well deserved in my opinion.
So speaking of your guys, what's the message from you to your seniors right now with the final stretch of the season in front of them? Their high school careers are winding down. What are you telling them right now?
You know, just finish. You know, finish what we started. And, you know, they've done a great job thus far. A lot of our seniors have carried us. You know, Wyatt Burks, number 2, that plays our middle linebacker, also plays receiver. He's leading us in tackles and receiving yards. You know, Jake Ashlock has got 11 total touchdowns in 5 games. You know, Will Ogletree is our leading rusher, you know, after almost a 200-yard game. You know, there's Wesley Walker, you know, a little underrated. People don't talk about him too much, plays that sniffer back. Plays a defensive tackle for us. You know, there's much more than that into it. But those guys just get it done. And, you know, they've done a great job as far as, you know, taking these younger guys, you know, under their wings and showing them the ropes and how we like to do things here. You know, we're pretty young, you know, but the guys we have that are seniors leave the team very, very well.
Coach Johnson said that he knows his Bulldogs are in for a fight Friday night against Westmoreland. Westmoreland's only 2 losses on the year came against Livingston Academy and Trousdale County, who rank 8th and 4th in their respective classifications. Despite an 0-5 record, Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballou said he likes the development of some of his players, such as running back Jacob Gringa.
That was the first play we put in once I got here. You know, that's our base stuff, you know, and to get a big play on that, you know, that's encouraging, you know, to know that, hey, you know, what we're doing can work if we just buy in and believe in it.
You kind of fell behind early. When you fall behind early in a game like that, do you try to stick to the game plan as best you can, or are you trying to adapt to what you're seeing defensively?
Well, I think one thing you have to keep in perspective is you don't want to start doing things that you know that your team isn't accustomed to doing. Sometimes you can want to hurry up and rush out of what's comfortable. But, you know, obviously you have to play by the time or play about, you know, however much you're down or whatever it may be. But you got to and you got to do or call plays that you know your kids can make. So that we kind of just like to stay grounded and, hey, you know, this is going to take some time. Let's not try and get it all back in 2 or 3 possessions. Let's really focus on doing what we know how to do best.
So it's the halfway point of the season. What's the biggest positive you've seen from this team through 5 games?
You know, some kids are taking some ownership. That's the big thing we focused on the past couple weeks. You know, guys like Gringa. We've had some young guys step up. We had a kid, Grayson Hale, who is a sophomore, get his first start last Friday and played really well. So, you know, things like that are definitely some positives that we're seeing.
With Walker Valley on Friday, they just played White County this past week. Do you plan on or have you talked to Coach Frazier at all to maybe see kind of what he saw from them?
Yeah, I mean, I may holler at him sometime this week just to get some, you know, perspective. But, you know, that's one thing, we do see some things that we can hopefully accomplish on film. You know, they seem to be a well-coached bunch. They've got some skill guys that can hurt you. So that's going to be our big thing. It's probably limiting their big plays and us, you know, taking some chances, you know, on both sides of the ball.
Going back to the offense, Trevor's been held in check these past two games. What's really key for you guys in getting him going again?
Well, I think a lot of it starts up front. You know, we've got to do what we want to do. You know, we've got to really buy into our base system, and then that's going to open up some other stuff for our quarterback, or it's going to open up some stuff on the perimeter. So, you know, that's what we got to do. We got to buy into whatever our job is. We're not going to do anything different. We're just going to get better at doing what we do.
Blue said he wants his team to maintain focus despite the rough start. He said the last five games, in his opinion, give his team a chance to make some noise. We hope you will join us for the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook as we preview Jackson County and York Institute's inner UC Sports Nation matchups. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. The closeness and proximity is something York Institute head coach Derwin Wright said makes these inner UC Sports Nation matchups so fun to be a part of. Wright said he sees a greatly improved White County football program.
I think they have improved every game from what I saw on the films we've traded. And they're an improving ball club. You know, they have trailed, but they've come back from behind in two of those games, and that shows a lot of determination and character in the kids. So, you know, to me, it's an opportunity for us to try to correct some things we're doing and hopefully get our offense going.
Coach, White County really leans on their rushing attack, their quarterback and their two running backs.
Well, we've got to do a better job up front. We didn't play well. You know, we played three quarters well against Smith County, and then we kind of fell apart. We've got to make open field tackles. We've got to do a better job up front. Our front four have got to do a better job of reading the offensive line and their blocks and not running upfield opening holes.
And after a scoreless first half against Smith County Friday night in Jamestown and a close third quarter, they kind of pulled away. What happened Friday night that the game got away from you a little bit?
Well, we made a couple mistakes, and we had a couple injuries and had to bring in some kids that made young mistakes in the kicking game. It cost us two touchdowns in the kicking game.
Put it on the ground four times Friday and lost two of them. How much are you focused on ball security this week?
Absolutely focused on it. Those are things that you can't overcome, and you can't overcome against anybody. You cannot turn the football over, and we've been doing way too much of that.
Wright says he thinks his offense has a good chance to move the ball this week. He did say offensive success will be dependent upon his offensive line and backs blocking the right people. Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus said the Monterey-Jackson County game has always been a good battle, win, lose, or draw.
You know, first of all, we just got to grind out first downs. We've got to find ways to keep the ball in our hands and out of their offensive hands. And they do a good job. They're going to stack the box. They're going to make you throw the ball. And then whenever you do throw it, I mean, you're throwing it basically into the teeth of their athletes. They've got some athletes in the back end of their defense that you know, they can make some plays, but you know, up front, for them, I mean, they're very physical. They've got they keep their linebackers clean, and you know, number 15 is a kid that you know, he don't miss many tackles from the linebacker standpoint. So I mean, they're all around. I mean, we just got to try to figure ways to move the football and keep their offense off the field as much as possible.
Speaking of their offense, they can kind of spread you out and throw the ball around, or they can get in a smokestack and run right downhill. So when you're preparing for them this week, what are you trying to focus on first and making them one-dimensional?
You know, obviously, you know, on any team, you want to try to take away their run game. However, you know, like you said, I mean, they're able to beat you in a variety of, or multiple different ways. Whether that is if you take the run game, they're able to beat you throwing the ball. If you sit back and let them throw the ball, then they're able to cram it right down your throat. So, I mean, you got to, you know, we're going to have to play. You know, a physical style of football. We've got to, you know, just like every game, we go in trying to stop the run first. Maybe except for last week, I guess we tried to go in last week trying to stop number three, their East Robertson's best player, but everybody else, I mean, we won't play another kid with like his caliber for the remainder of the year. But But most of all, we try to stop the run first, and be sound in the passing game as well. But, you know, our front seven has got to do a very good job, you know, Friday night of, you know, holding their gaps and playing physical. And the biggest thing is, you know, you got to play low. If you stand up against Monterey, you know, they're going to drive you off the ball. And so you got to fire off the ball, and you got to, you know, hold your gaps, and everybody's got to do their jobs.
Coach, speaking of number three from East Robertson, Taylor Groves had two touchdowns. There are only two touchdowns a night, a little over 120 all-purpose yards. But were you pleased with the way your guys competed against such an elite-level athlete with multiple SEC offers?
We were. I mean, we thought coming out that we had a good game plan in order to stop him. And, you know, and again, that was who we felt like, you know, if he goes, so does East Robertson. And if we took him out of their game plan, then I thought, you know, that there goes about, you know, 85% of their offense. And the week before, they threw it for around 300 yards. So we double-teamed him everywhere he went from the outside standpoint. And whenever they realized they couldn't throw him the ball, like on the quick screens and the verts or the comebacks, you know, then they moved him to quarterback. And, you know, then I got to see, I guess, the elite level athlete that he actually is. You know, he just outran us. And it doesn't look like he's running fast at all. But whenever you see him, and he's taking, you know, basically two strides and getting 5 yards in two strides, I mean, it goes to show you why he has multiple SEC offers. But I can't take anything away from our kids. I thought we battled. I thought we fought hard. I thought we did everything that we possibly could for the most part.
Loftus said he is proud of the way his team has learned to compete this season. Although it's not translated in the win columns, Loftus said they are learning to play for four quarters and for the person beside of them and not just themselves. Thank you for joining Week 6 edition of the High School Playbook. Join us live Saturday morning at Chick-fil-A with Larry Stone on Rock 93.7 for the most complete and comprehensive coverage of football action across UC Sports Nation. Be sure to log on Saturday morning to ucsportsnation.com for highlights, stats, and photo galleries from your favorite teams across UC Sports Nation. UC Sports Nation, driven by East Tennessee Ford.